Are you looking to modernize your veterinary practice by offering virtual care to pet owners? Fortunately, there's an easy solution from the podcast sponsor, Medici. That's M-E-D-I-C-I. Medici is a telehealth solution built for veterinarians. I've made it easy to check out Medici with a link in the show notes, or you can head over to their website, medici.md, or call 512-967-6454 to learn more. Medici lets you text, call, and video chat with clients with their easy-to-use app. Send or receive images and videos of pets, stay VCPR compliant, and get paid, which is always a wonderful thing, for delivering convenient care right from your phone.
Hi, this is Dr. Aaron Smiley, and I've offered telemedicine to my clients since I started. In 2017, I integrated paid telemedicine with Medici.
Ready to go virtual? Visit medici.md, that's M-E-D-I-C-I.md, or call 512-967-6454 to learn more. And with that, here's the show. You are listening to the Veterinary Success Podcast. My name is Isaiah Douglas. Today, I'm joined by Sarah Rumpel, who is the Chief Creative Officer of Rumpus Writing and Editing LLC. Sarah, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me, Isaiah.
Sarah, you've had quite the unique path to today in what you're doing. Can you share how you found your way into becoming a writer and editor for the veterinary industry?
Sure. Yeah. This is actually kind of my second go around at a real grown-up job. My first adult job was as a respiratory therapist on the human medicine side. And I worked in hospitals and at an allergy and asthma clinic and ended up getting a job in respiratory sales. And during that time, I was married and got pregnant with my son. And about a month before my due date, I asked if I could cut my territory in half and work part-time after my son was born. And the company that I worked for at the time did not want to do that. So I decided to start over. And a month after my son was born, I went back to school full-time and got another degree in communications. And while pursuing that degree about, I don't know, maybe a year before I graduated, one of my professors told me that I was a really good writer. And she'd asked if I had ever thought about being a writer. And while I had always loved writing, I had never really thought of it as a viable career option. But that kind of gave me the courage to pursue it. And so I applied for an internship here in Denver at a local magazine, 5280 Magazine. And I got the internship and I was published for the first time. And it was really exciting and I loved it. And so maybe a week after I graduated with my communications degree, I saw that the American Animal Hospital Association was hiring a copywriter. And I always loved animals and was looking for a writing job. So I applied and I got the job. And that was in 2011. I was there for about 5 years. And during that time, I met a lot of really influential people in the industry. And I had people reaching out to me on the side just asking, hey, can you help with my website copy? Can you write this blog post? Can you edit my script for my talk that I'm giving? You know, all of these different just little asks that were writing and editing focused. And before I knew it, I had kind of built up a pretty impressive freelance base. And I started my company in 2016, late 2016. And it was just me, myself, and I until June of last year. And then things were just kind of exploding and I had a lot more work than I could handle, but I didn't want to say no to anything. So I ended up bringing on a writer, a freelance writer. And now I actually have 6 writers and 1 editor and an admin person. So it's grown really crazy in the last year, but it's exciting.
Yeah, that is fantastic to hear the growth and to take the leap of faith to go start your own thing as an army of one is certainly something that can be intimidating. And, you know, I give you kudos for being able to do that. And you've certainly been rewarded with a lot of opportunities with that. You've worked, as you talked about, you had an awesome, almost Rolodex is the wrong term. It's going to make me sound like I'm really old, but as far as who you knew in the industry and who you've worked for. And so many people have seen your work likely, but don't know it. Can you touch on a little bit and share maybe who you've worked with since launching your own business? If you can't share, that's okay. But a lot of I feel like the content that you put out, people might not know it's you or your team doing it.
Sure. Yeah. So we do everything from, you know, pet owner facing, just typical, you know, animal health and behavior stuff, to practice management for industry associations and other organizations, editorial writing, blogs, marketing, copywriting, social media, scripting, pretty much anything under the sun that can be written or edited that's veterinary focused, we do. I still do a ton of work with AHA and Trends Magazine. I had a story that was on the cover issue of Today's Veterinary Business for NAVC, the August issue, about the discrimination in the industry and the lack of diversity in the veterinary industry. I work with IDEX, Trupanion, Digital Empathy, Whisker Cloud, Compassion First Pet Hospitals. So for those three, Digital Empathy, Compassion First, and Whisker Cloud, I do, it's basically ghostwriting for their clients. So they have veterinary practices who want to produce content regularly, but don't have the time or the ability for whatever reason. And so my team writes and edits those blog posts for them, and social media posts. I also, one of my first biggest clients that I kind of basically enabled me to start my business was Black Dog Radio Productions and Steve Dale's Pet World out of Chicago. They gave me a good contract that gave me the confidence to leave my full-time job and start something of my own. I do a lot of work with vet partners and countless individual veterinary hospitals and veterinary consultants. And I mean, the list goes on and on.
So yeah, if you don't work with Sarah, it's probably more the way I should have started that question.
Yeah.
But you did mention a topic of kind of transitioning to the next question, which was social media. So we all know how powerful social media is, and being able to put out and produce content is important. If I'm a veterinary practice, that's intimidating on top of everything else that I'm supposed to be doing. Now I'm supposed to be creating this brand. How would I even know if I wanted to start what or how to say and put out that content to make it relevant and worth the time spent?
I would start with, what are your clients asking you about? What, you know, when you're, whether it's you or your associates or your veterinary technicians or even your client care representatives, what are the questions that they're getting asked on a regular basis? That means that the people in your community and your clients are wanting to know those answers. So I would focus on answering those questions via your blog, your social media, other marketing efforts. I would also focus on, where do you want to improve? So before you have a good idea of what you want to market or what you want to include in your content plan, you should probably take a good look at your numbers, your hospital's numbers, and look at your various profit centers and the income that they're generating. And are there areas that you want to improve? Maybe you want to book more dental procedures. Maybe you want to add to your acupuncture and other alternative therapies. If those are numbers that you see room for improvement there, then I would say write content surrounding those topics and push that out via all the channels that you can. I also think it's important to let clients get to know you and let your community get to know you. So, you know, they come in with their pet, you know, once every 6 months, and they see you in your lab coat and or your scrubs, and, you know, it's a limited interaction. And so I encourage clients often to let people see an intimate side of their practice and the people who work there via their content. So do like a spotlight on the doctors in your practice in a blog post, or, you know, get to know the technicians and maybe post that in September, right before National Veterinary Technician Week. Client care representatives, assistants, whoever you want to, you could, if you have a smaller team, you could every week do a new spotlight on a new team member. Or, I mean, there's a lot of different ways you can do it, but I think it's great to let people see who it is behind the lab coats and the scrubs that are, you know, working in your practice. And then obviously there's timely topics that are kind of the low-hanging fruit, easy topics to touch on. So you have your National Pet Dental Health Month in February, and you have, you know, heartworm awareness in April, and all these other timely things that can really lend themselves to good educational pet health reminders for your clients. So those are kind of the biggest what to talk about. And in terms of what to do, I mean, there's so many different things, and it's really what fits your hospital and your organization. So my team, we write hundreds of blog posts a month. And so I think blogs are a really great way to generate content, and they also feed your other channels. So I think it's a great place to start is with blogs. Create a blog post on dental health, and then you can post that on all of your various social media channels. You can create a direct mail piece if you want. You can create flyers for people that come into your practice. There's so many different you can put it on your on hold message. So there's just so many opportunities for you to use your blog posts. You can do it on emails as well. You could cut and paste portions of your blog post in a client email to promote dentals. You know, so there's a lot of different things you can do with blogs. And that's what I would suggest is kind of integrating your messages on multiple platforms. I think a lot of people are afraid to be too repetitive and make people get sick of them. But it's been proven over and over again that the more people see the same messages, the more that they're likely to absorb it. I don't think you can kind of hit them too many times with similar or the same message because you don't know who's going to see it where.
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack. And I know that was a really open-ended question. Thank you for the reply and the thoroughness. When you think about the blog posts and how to put out content, it can be overwhelming because there's so much, but you made a really good point of how can you repurpose one post into maybe then you could put a picture up on Facebook with a link back to the post or just a little quote out of it and put it on Instagram, or you could do all these different things with one blog post. And, that's what I do a lot with even content that I create for my business. And it's a really nice way to utilize one thing and then repurpose it. So you could do video, you could just do like a quick, you could do Facebook Live, you could do all kinds of different things with one specific piece of content. And as far as being repetitive, I've always heard that it's like seven times before someone actually hears your message. So yeah, if you're telling them once a year, it's going to take a while. So you can repeat yourself a couple different times to make sure that the message gets through. And then finally, I think the idea of being intimate with telling who your staff is, and maybe even explaining if you're a privately held business, we all know the amount of corporate consolidation and some of the challenges that are faced. Let people know that you're a small local business and why that matters mm-hmm. and why you do what you do and how that could set you apart from others and tell that story. And I think the flexibility of being independent right there and utilizing the power and the inexpensive nature of social media can be huge. So all excellent, excellent points. When we first connected and we know each other through Vet Partners, as you spoke about working with Vet Partners, you talked about how making this more of a team effort. And so it's not put on one person's shoulders or it's too daunting. Can you talk a little about how you maybe could create a team effort or think about empowering other team members to get involved?
Yeah. So, a lot of practice owners or associates who might be charged with helping with writing blogs or other social media, jobs within the practice, I think it can be daunting and it's scary. And maybe they aren't comfortable writing or they don't want to take the time to write or they're not able to take the time to write. I think it's so important to get your team involved and to trust your team. Let's say you have a client service representative who is really, into social media and wants to help, has expressed interest in helping. How empowering is it to kind of designate that person, maybe add to that person's title, no longer just client service representative. Maybe she's the client service representative and marketing manager or something like that. Not only does that empower her and make her feel great about her job, job satisfaction is going to go through the roof with that. That's going to help so much. But it could provide her with a byline, like she's now officially published and it says, your pet's dental health by whatever her name is. So you're making her, you're giving her more sense of responsibility, something that she can take ownership over within the practice. And I think that's huge. So I really, really recommend if you have someone on your team who's interested in doing something like that, let them, if you have the time and you can spare, a little bit of their time each week or each day to dedicate to marketing and blog post writing or social media writing. I think that's really important. There are a lot of different ways. If you don't have one person that you want to designate that to, there are a lot of different ways you could also go about getting your team involved. You could, assign various topics to team members and have them each write about, give them a deadline, maybe once a month, have, a handful of team members be responsible for writing on various topics that you want covered. And you could hire an editor to clean up the work a little bit before it's published, or you could edit it yourself if you feel comfortable doing that. You could have doctors in your practice write fun or even not so fun posts about particular events that have occurred, as long as you get your client, you know, if you're using client names or pet names, obviously get their approval first. But, you know, we talk about well-being in the industry and how I think a lot of veterinarians feel, you know, overworked, underappreciated. They feel like their clients don't necessarily understand them. They feel like they don't, you know, clients come in, they just expect the world for not very much money. And God forbid something happens to their pet, they blame you. And, you know, there's this perfect storm of just veterinary well-being issues going on right now. And I think it would be helpful for pet owners to have more insight into what goes on at the veterinary practice and what's going on inside the heads of these veterinarians. And I think it would be so powerful if veterinarians would take some time to write down some of the stories and encounters that they experience each day. So, and how it made them feel and what the outcome was and whether good or bad. I think it's really powerful for pet owners to read that kind of stuff. And, you know, we'll read that kind of stuff often after a tragedy has happened. You know, let's say a veterinarian takes his or her life. You read something later that someone writes about, you know, this isn't right. This is, you know, like a response to that occurrence. But I think if we were more proactive and veterinarians took the time to reach out and tell their stories as they're happening, I think that would be really powerful. Also, play up people's strengths. So some people on your team might want to write, some might want to edit, some might want to take photos to accompany some of your content that you're producing. Ask people what if they're interested in helping, and if so, what do they want to do? And I think you'll be surprised often if you have an open mind and really have thorough conversations with your team members about what their strengths are and what they want, how they want to help. I think a lot would be willing to help in areas that you might not expect.
Awesome. And it made me think of the last bit there. It's almost about like the culture within the practice. So making people be able to be empowered to go do something that maybe they've wanted to do, but they didn't feel comfortable asking. And I had a previous guest, Michael Lenardi, talking about culture and building that team environment, and even having a discussion around, hey, we want to do more from a content creation piece, who would want to get involved, and letting those that are more talented maybe dive in and do that, but let others do it too. And they might not come up with great content, and maybe have a conversation like, well, you know, let's try doing it this way or this way, but encouraging them, because they are going to come up with an idea at some point that maybe could be written by someone else, but the story, like you talked about, writing down the story or a conversation and what that means, because the communication back to the public is extremely important. And you touched on a lot of excellent points that I can't even, you know, begin to go back through and describe as nicely as you did. But you also kind of answered the question. The next one that I had was a little bit about how to differentiate yourself versus larger corporate practices that have an unlimited budget. I mean, is there anything else that you would add, or would you kind of just say, I gave you the answer right before from the standpoint of just being very genuine and authentic?
Yeah. I mean, I think, yeah, my previous answer answers that a bit, but yeah, really when you're a smaller practice, I think you should focus on playing that get to know the team card a bit more. And like you were talking about the differentiating yourself from a corporate versus privately owned, I think that's awesome. And in fact, just last month, actually it was this month, just a couple of weeks ago, we wrote a blog post for a client who is, he owns a 3-doctor practice, and he wanted us to write about the difference between corporate and privately owned veterinary practices and why he, you know, thinks that his hospital is special because he's owned it for X number of years. And so it's definitely something that helps people to kind of, it sets you apart from other, you know, competitors in your area. I also love the idea of interviewing clients. And when you're a smaller practice, you're more able to interview, you know, reach out to your loyal clients and ask them if they're interested in being interviewed for, you know, a blog post or an article or a video. So interview them and let them tell the story from their perspective about your hospital and why they continue to go to your hospital and what their pets think about your hospital. And not only is that kind of stuff powerful because of the testimonial standpoint, but it's also like the clients eat that up themselves. If, you know, if my veterinarian were to call me right now and say, "Hey, Sarah, you're a great client. I'd love if you'd, you know, be on this Facebook Live with me, or if you would, you know, write a blog post for my practice and tell me how great you think it is," like from the pet owner's perspective. And then when the practice shares that on their Facebook page or on their blog or both and tags me in it, of course, what the first thing I'm going to do is share it with my Facebook following and probably share it on my company's Facebook following. So it's, you know, like when someone is featured like that, it makes them feel special and they want to share it with everyone that they know too. So that only helps you. And I would say that a limited budget doesn't equal not enough money for content. You know, I think a lot of smaller, you know, like a rural one doctor practice kind of has, it's easier to have the mindset of, well, I don't have the budget to allocate toward blogs and social media writing. Like I can just do that when I have the time. But one of the biggest problems or mistakes that I think practices, and really not just not veterinary specific, it's really any marketing in general, is inconsistency in your frequency of posting. You know, when you're not posting regularly, I mean, how many times have you Googled something and ended up on a blog and the last article that was published was, you know, 2 years ago or something? That happens all the time. And so I think it's really important for when you start a blog or you decide to be on a certain social media channel that you are consistent with it and you follow up. Like we talked about before, get your staff involved, get your team involved, hire someone to professionally help you if you need to. But you don't have, it doesn't take a lot of money to make a small or to make a big difference. It takes a small amount of money to make a big difference when it comes to social media and blogs.
So you're telling me if I do one blog post, that means that you're not getting a bunch of new patients and clients walking through the door that are just can't wait because you put out that one blog post?
No. And it's hard to measure ROI when, you know, it's really hard to measure ROI with that kind of stuff. But really the great thing about a blog and social media is that you, when you're consistent, not only does it kind of elevate you and make you more credible in the eyes of anyone who sees it, it also increases, you know, if you're producing content on your website regularly, and I'm not a search expert or anything like that, but I know that if you're producing content on your website regularly, and it's good quality content, you're not, you know, just trying to shove keywords in there and that kind of thing, you're going to rank higher. It's going to help you with your Google rankings and your search engine rankings. So there are multiple benefits to having this content. It's also a great place to send clients. You know, you have a client in the practice today who maybe their pet needs heartworm preventive, but they're just not quite sold. Like, I don't know, I don't think we have a mosquito problem here or whatever. And you're trying to convince the client, and maybe they just need a little extra push. And well, lo and behold, just last month you published a blog post about heartworm awareness. And so instead of sitting in the exam room and trying to convince your client, you could also send, you know, maybe through your app or through an email or a text message, a link to that blog post. Hopefully that would help to move the needle a little bit. So there's a lot of benefits in providing content, and it's not just self-serving. It's going to help your clients as well. There's a number of benefits.
Even in preparation for this conversation, one of my favorite Twitter follows, his name's David Perrell, and he's big on writing. And he took a quote from someone else and just said, "Writing is the most radical thing you can do without money. Skilled writers change the world from their couch. That's leverage." And I just think that having good content and being able to explain what and why and how you do things and give information away. I think sometimes people are afraid to tell someone something because they're going to go buy it online or they're going to go do it somewhere else. If you show them that you're the expert and the resource for this information, they're going to want to come back to you. There's going to be certain people that will never, and that's okay. You probably don't want them coming anyways, but showing your expertise, as you mentioned multiple times, will pay dividends down the road. It's not going to be overnight. It's not going to be in the first 3 months of doing it. You have to stay committed and build that up over the course of years, but you'll see some growth from that. And I've seen that in my business. I've seen that in the business of others. I've seen it in all kinds of other businesses that when they put out good content consistently, it attracts people. So can you talk a little bit about, you brought up well-being earlier. You have a unique view into veterinary medicine. What's your thoughts on well-being? What are you seeing? What's going on in your part of the world?
Well, in addition to what I already said, you know, I have a lot of contact with veterinary, you know, practice owners, veterinary associates, technicians. I teach a writing class every month for relief veterinarians and technicians here in the Denver area. And so I have consistently, I'm talking to people about it. And recently I was looking for a couple of new writers, and I had, so on my team of writers right now, I have 3 veterinarians and 3 veterinary technicians. And at the time I only had 1 veterinarian and 3 veterinary technicians, and I kind of wanted to beef up the veterinarian side. And so I was looking for veterinarian DVM writer, and assuming, I think you probably know Cindy Trice. She's also a Vet Partners member, and she owns Relief Rover, and she graciously offered to post my job on Relief Rover for any of her veterinarians who do relief. And the response that I got was amazing. I did not expect it. I don't know what you've heard about how much money writers make, but, let's just say we're not rich. And so it's not like I was offering this, you know, high paying, crazy good job. I was just looking for a veterinarian who could, you know, who had a way with words, who was willing to do some, you know, writing on the side for me on animal health and behavior topics. And I got a lot of applicants. I mean, nearly 30 applicants.
Wow.
Yeah. And all DVMs, and I would say 90% at least of the applicants that I received mentioned in their cover letter that they were looking for a better work-life balance and a way to get out of having to practice medicine full-time. And so when I ended up interviewing, I had a hard time selecting, like narrowing it down. I ended up interviewing, I think I interviewed 11 of the applicants. And we talked about that extensively, about how, you know, burned out they had become, about how now maybe they have a child or two and they didn't before, and they're just trying to find some way to make extra money that doesn't involve having to work full time for a practice. And so it was really eye-opening to me. And that's one thing that I really, and I'm actually writing a piece on this exact topic for AHA's Trends magazine. I think it's going to be in the December issue, about kind of the future veterinarian and alternative, innovative avenues that you can go and while still utilizing your veterinary education. Because I think there are so many really cool things that veterinarians can do and not waste what they've learned, you know, still utilize that knowledge, but use it in a different way. So whether it's writing on the side, speaking, consulting, starting an app, you know, like doing something techie like that, relief work, obviously. There's so many different avenues that you can go down. And I think it's important that when you're getting burned out, that to consider something like that. You know, why wait until it's so late that you feel like you have no other option? So that's something that I really enjoy about my current situation and the people who write for me. I love knowing that they have found something that provides, you know, I mean, they can do it at 2 a.m. from their couch if they want to. As long as they make the deadline, they can work whenever and however they choose. And they seem really happy with that. And that makes me happy. So I know the first veterinary technician that I hired, she's the head technician at a little one doctor rural practice in Indiana. And she has told, so she told me when I hired her that every dollar that she made was going to be saved for her and her husband to buy a house. They're a young couple. And the first time she got a check, the first time I paid her, like, I don't know, I think it was $1,200 or something. It was $800. The first time she got $800 from me, she commented back on my payment. I paid her via Venmo, and she commented and said, "Wow, thank you so much. This is more than my biweekly paycheck." And Yeah. And so just, and it made me want to cry. So I feel like there are a lot of ways that you can use your education still in the industry, but kind of get you out of that day-to-day grind of veterinary hospital work. And so I just feel good to be, I'm glad that I'm able to contribute to that in a small way for these people who are helping me with writing and editing now.
Yeah, that's a great story. Thank you for sharing that. And I interviewed Dr. Grace Kim, which is a Richer Life DVM. She's a retired now veteran that writes kind of financial wellness blogging and has done a lot utilizing, again, her skill set and knowledge and writing to an audience that she knows really well. And there's so many other avenues where sometimes I think anyone pigeonholes themselves into a certain, you know, have to do this job, so that's where I'm trained in or skilled in. Mm-hmm. But wow.
Yeah.
Just the amount of people that are interested in having the conversations with you is incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. It feels good to know that they're out there though. You know, I think that as my company grows, I'm obviously going to have plenty of interest from people who want to write for me. So that's a great thing.
Yeah. So you kind of snuck it in there at the beginning, but it didn't get past me. Tell me a little bit more about this writing class you teach.
Oh, so here in the Denver area, there's a relief company called Veterinary Systems Services. And I met the owner of the company it's almost like a little local vet partners chapter here in the Denver metro area called the Rocky Mountain Veterinary Professionals. And they meet once a month. It's been probably 6 months at least since I met with them because I've been too busy, but they have lunch once a month, or maybe it's once every 2 months. But anyway, they meet regularly. And I met the owner of Veterinary System Services through that group at lunch one day. And he had kind of an innovative idea. He wanted to provide, so they provide relief for veterinarians. They provide veterinary relief, veterinarians who do relief, veterinary technicians, and also client care representatives to local hospitals here. And he wanted to provide additional benefits to his employees, the veterinarians, technicians, and client care representatives who work for him. And one of those benefits was a writing class. And so because he knew that there were people who worked for him who had expressed interest or who were currently trying to write for various industry publications, one person on his team really was interested in starting a blog for their company. And so he tasked me with leading this veterinary writing class. And I've been doing it now for more than a year, and it's every month. And originally it started, we would all meet at one place, but traffic in Denver has just gotten exponentially worse over the last few years. So thank you, cannabis legalization. So now the last several months we've done the classes virtually. So we just do like a Google video hangout and they're really interactive. We do, you know, workshops and writing assignments and everyone really loves it. And now that it's virtual, we typically will bring a glass of wine to our desk with us or something and toast each other, and we read our stuff out loud to each other and provide feedback and bounce ideas off of each other. And every class has, you know, a overall theme, whether it's how to pitch an idea to an editor or, you know, how to organize your writing or whatever it may be. But it's been really fun, and I've gotten to know some really great people as a result.
Yeah, and opening it up to being more virtual gives you the ability to work outside if someone outside of the Denver area wanted to do something like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, sounds like a great group and certainly an area of interest for a lot of folks.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. A lot of people are, actually since this class started, several people have been published for the first time. One girl started writing some articles for DVM 360, and she also she draws the coolest veterinary cartoons. So like, just like a little, you know, cartoon that like you would see in the Sunday morning paper. But she does them veterinary related and they're funny. And so I convinced her to pitch that idea to the editor of Trends Magazine, and he liked it. And so they've been running her cartoons in there ever since she pitched the idea. And then the other benefit that VSS offers their employees is a speaking class too. So they he's trying to develop them in ways that will help them in the future if they want to use their skills for writing and speaking, which is great.
Yeah, I love the concept of growing the skill set, especially if there's interests in other areas. And yeah, the cartoons, that's really neat, the story of her now getting published. Yeah. But I know we're kind of getting closer to bumping up on time. I want to make sure I ask the question of, you know, you personally and also professionally, like, how do you define success?
Yeah, so I would say personally, it's really just balancing my career and my growing business with being a wife and a mom and trying to have some sort of personal life. My dog is shaking in the background.
It's perfect.
yeah. Well, it's their lunchtime. They're ready for me to go downstairs and give them a treat and let them out. But anyway, I really love my business and what it's become and how it's growing and trying to navigate that. I think it's been a really cool adventure, but I also have found that my own personal, you know, work-life balance has been affected by my business's growth. And so trying to balance those two things and still, I want both my career and my business and my personal life, my family and my health and well-being to all get the attention that they need and deserve. That's been challenging for sure. I definitely notice that I tend to kind of focus on my career a bit more lately because it's been demanding. And so, you know, when the kids get home from school, I still have more work to do. And so usually I'm trying to get them to occupy their own time until I'm able to stop working. When I get up at, you know, 5 a.m. or something sometimes, and I'm immediately on my computer working. And so for me, the personal success would be able to find the right balance so that I feel like all of the aspects of my life are able to be in a good position. Professionally, I've always been really motivated by being known for what I do, for people kind of realizing that I'm good at what I do. And so being recognized in the industry is definitely makes me feel successful. And like we talked about a little bit before, just giving some of these veterinary professionals an opportunity to use the knowledge that they already have outside of actually working in a practice, that makes me feel really fulfilled to provide that work-life balance for them. And then, you know, I'd like to make enough money to support my anthropology habit. That would make me feel really successful. Yeah.
That's awesome. I feel like you're wanting me to prompt you to go more in different directions with other questions, but it might have to be for a round two some other day.
Sure. Yeah. No, anthropology, it's good stuff.
Yeah. How can people find you, get in touch, follow your work? I mean, if they're interested in the writing class, is that something that's open? If they're interested, I guess kind of set the stage for how to talk to you or get to know you more.
Sure. So my website is rumpuswriting.com, RUMPUSWRITING.com. And you can email me, sarah.rumpel@rumpuswriting.com. And then obviously you can read some of the industry publications like Trends Magazine or Today's Veterinary Business. I often have articles in those publications. The writing class is, you know, it's a benefit that is provided by this relief company in Denver. And so right now it's not open to people who are not employees of that relief company. However, I am open to other writing classes. If someone wants a private writing tutor, just wants to have an hour long, you know, phone call about an area of writing that he or she needs help with, I'm open to all of those kinds of things. So you can contact me on my website or my email and we can discuss from there.
Well, I appreciate that. And sorry that now I'm adding another business to the business you already have and making you have more people reaching out, but no, it's exciting. You're doing a lot of awesome things. And I think it's good for people to know who you are and the work that you're doing, even if it's sometimes behind the scenes, and then also the writing and opportunities within the industry for those that are interested. So Sarah, thank you so much for joining me. Really appreciate your time and the insight that you shared today.
Thank you, Isaiah. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to today's show. The comments made on today's show should not be taken as investment, tax, or legal advice. All comments are for educational purposes only. You should talk to your professional team before implementing anything. Isaiah is the founder of ID Financial Planning and Wealth Management. Isaiah is a registered investment advisor in the state of Indiana. The biggest compliment you can give is to share this podcast with a friend. Reviews help the show get found, and Apple Podcasts is a platform that is predominantly how people listen to the show. If you have 3 minutes, love the show, head over to Apple Podcasts and give us an honest review and rating. That'll help more people find the show. For all of today's links and information, head over to the veterinarysuccesspodcast.com. There you can also subscribe via your favorite podcast platform so you won't miss another episode. Finally, if you'd like more information and insights and the ability to have your voice heard, please consider joining the private podcast Facebook group. You can search for the Veterinary Success Podcast on Facebook or head over to the veterinarysuccesspodcast.com, scroll down to the About Your Host and click on the Facebook icon. Then I can approve you, let you into the group, and would love to hear from you there. Thanks for listening, and I'll be talking again to you soon.